So, imagine a master chef, right? And this chef only knows how to make three specific sauces.
Only three. Okay, not a very deep menu.
Yeah, exactly, just three. But instead of throwing in, dozens of new ingredients like a normal cook might do to get complex flavors, they just keep reducing those same three sauces over and over again on the stove.
Ah, so they're just boiling them down.
Right, they boil them down until the flavor becomes just overwhelmingly intense, and they actually achieve this complexity that honestly rivals a kitchen with 100 different chefs making 100 different things.
That is a great analogy.
Well, today we are looking at an AI that basically does exactly that. So, welcome back to Machines Learning. It's your daily deep dive where we take a fresh, cutting-edge paper from the machine learning and AI world and, well, we translate it for thoughtful, curious listeners like you. No PhD required.
Two hosts, one paper, and absolutely no math.
Exactly. And to give you some context on where we are in our journey together, if you've been joining us for the past five deep dives, you know we've been laser focused on behavioral interventions.
Right, which is basically how we train a model to, do the right thing.
Yeah, it's teaching it to act, aligning its outputs, kind of playing psychologist to the AI, I guess. But today is a hard pivot.
Very hard pivot.
Yeah. Today is an architectural story, meaning we are looking at the actual physical structure the model operates within.
Which is such a crucial distinction, because if behavioral interventions are about teaching a system good habits, architectural interventions are about redesigning the physical brain that actually holds those habits.
Right.
And the paper we are looking at today fundamentally challenges how we think about the shape of that brain.
It really does. So the paper is called A Mechanistic Analysis of Looped Reasoning Language Models. It's from a stellar team of researchers, Yunsu Nam, Andrei Gromov, Sho Yaida, Adriano Pinto-Reichelt, Sarah Sola, and Tianlin Liu.
It's a powerhouse team.
Oh, absolutely. And our mission today is to look inside a very specific, unusual type of AI architecture and just figure out what is actually going on under the hood when it processes information.
Because the reason this research is so compelling is that it really pushes back against the dominant recipe in modern AI. Like for years now, the undisputed king of AI design has just been depth.
Right, the conventional wisdom is just you want a smarter model, stack more transformer blocks.
Exactly.
For you listening, think of a transformer block as a self-contained processing unit. It's like a layer of the network that takes in data, applies attention to figure out context, does some math, and passes it forward.
And to get state-of-the-art performance, companies will stack dozens or even hundreds of these distinct blocks on top of each other.
But that comes with a massive parameter count tax.
Right. Oh, huge. It requires immense computational power, massive memory, and frankly, astronomical electricity bills.
Yeah. But the models analyzed in today's paper are, well, they're unusually shallow by comparison. On paper, they look incredibly simple.
They really do. They use only a handful of distinct transformer
And
blocks.
what's the catch?
The catch is that they run those exact same blocks in loop. So instead of passing information through 100 different layers one time, the model passes information through one layer 100 times.
Wow. Okay, so to really understand why this challenges the status quo, I think we need to clearly visualize how that standard deep architecture actually processes data.
Yeah, let's do that. So if we look at traditional deep models through the lens of manufacturing, they operate basically exactly like an assembly line on a factory floor.
Okay, an assembly line?
Yeah. On an assembly line, you have a different worker at each station. The
Yeah.
first worker attaches the chassis, the second adds the engine, the third puts on the wheels.
Right.
Each worker performs one highly specialized operation, and they use their own specific set of tools.
And the piece of data, the raw material, basically it moves through that factory exactly once.
Correct. And by the time it reaches the end of the line, it emerges as a finished product. That is your deep neural network. Hundreds of separate layers, hundreds of individual stations, just one continuous forward pass.
Which I imagine is incredibly efficient for raw throughput, assuming you have, the billions of dollars required to build that massive factory in the first place.
Exactly. Assuming you have the budget.
Right. Well, if the standard deep model is an assembly line, this shallow looped model feels more like, I don't know, like a solo sculptor?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So you have one craftsperson, one block of marble, and one set of tools. The sculptor doesn't just make one massive, terrifying cut with a chainsaw and finish the statue instantly,
Well,
right?
it'd be a mess.
Right. Instead, the same hands walk around the piece of marble dozens of times. They take off a tiny sliver on the first pass, just to set up the basic geometry.
Right.
On the second pass, they refine what the first pass established. And by the 20th pass, they are carving like the delicate folds of clothing.
Exactly.
So the final statue is just as beautiful as the factory produced one. But the path to get there differs entirely in its use of resources.
And the iterative process is actually doing real work. You know, even though no individual pass around the marble looks transformative on its own.
Oh, wait, I want to push back on my own analogy here just to make sure we are characterizing this AI accurately.
Sure.
A human sculptor has episodic memory. When they are on their fifth walk around the marble, they remember that they chipped the left shoulder a little too hard on the very first pass, so they intentionally adjust their technique to compensate for it.
Right.
Does this looped AI model actually remember what it did on loop number three when it's executing loop number four?
That is the perfect place to poke a hole in the analogy, honestly, because the answer is no.
It doesn't.
No, the looped model does not have episodic memory of its own iterations. It doesn't look back and reflect on its past mistakes to plan its future moves at all. It only possesses the running internal state.
Let's define internal state for a second for the listener. Essentially, it only knows what the marble looks like right now.
Precisely. To use the technical term, the model operates in a latent space. Think of latent space as the AI's internal workspace, or like its imagination. It's a massive multidimensional grid where it plots concepts as mathematical coordinates.
Got it.
The model has absolutely no memory of the previous swings of the chisel that moved the concept to its current coordinate. The layer only sees the data as it exists in the latent space in this exact fraction of a second.
Wow.
Yeah, it applies its mathematical transformations and then spits out a slightly updated coordinate for the next loop to handle.
Okay, but if the model has no memory of its past passes, how does that internal state not just spin out of control? I mean, if you run the same data through the same mathematical blender 100 times without a master plan, you'd expect the result to just dissolve into noise.
You would. And that leads us directly to the core mechanistic findings of this paper.
Oh, this is the good stuff.
Yeah. The researchers managed to actually peek under the hood of a looped model while it was actively reasoning, just to see how the representations move through that latent space.
And what did they see?
They discovered that the data doesn't wander aimlessly, and it doesn't explode into chaos. Instead, it swings through a small, consistent loop. The authors call these cyclic trajectories.
Cyclic trajectories, meaning the changes from one iteration to the next start to follow a very predictable rhythm.
Exactly. And as it follows that rhythm, each layer in the cycle eventually converges to what the authors call a fixed point.
A fixed point. Okay, that's a beautiful concept. Let's strip away the math for a second for our listeners.
Go for it.
A fixed point is simply a state where running the data through the transformer block one more time changes absolutely nothing. The model has settled, the chisel is swinging, but no more marble is falling to the floor.
Yes. The computational operations are still firing, but the output exactly matches the input.
It's like a spinning coin on a table.
Oh, how so?
Well, when you first flick a coin, it wobbles wildly, right? That is the AI model trying to make sense of a complex prompt in its early loops. The representation is swinging widely through its cyclic trajectory.
Right.
But as it loses momentum, the wobble gets tighter, faster, and smaller. And finally, the coin clatters flat onto the table and comes to a complete rest.
I see.
That exact moment it stops moving is your fixed point. The computation is done. You could spin the table all you want, but the coin is flat.
That's a perfect way to visualize it.
Yeah.
And finding these fixed points in the latent space is a monumental observation. It proves that the looped architecture is not some chaotic echo chamber.
Right.
It is a reliable engine that consistently drives raw data toward a stable, converged state.
But we need to translate these cyclic trajectories into actual functional capability. Like, a coin laying flat on a table isn't writing code or summarizing a legal document. What is the loop actually achieving in terms of intelligence?
Well, this is where the authors deliver a massive empirical finding. When they analyze the internal dynamics of these fixed points, they discover that these recurrent blocks learn stages of inference that closely mirror those of traditional deep feedforward models.
Wait, really? So the shallow looping model is quietly recreating the behavior of the massive assembly line model.
Down to the mechanistic level.
That is wild.
Yeah. In a traditional deep model, layer 10 might be dedicated entirely to extracting basic syntax.
Mm-hmm.
Layer 50 might specialize in resolving pronouns, you know, figuring out who he or she refers to. Layer 90 might synthesize the final logical conclusion.
Okay, so the deep model uses separate, dedicated hardware for each stage.
Exactly. But the looped model learns to execute those exact same stages of inference, just doing them across time instead of across physical layers.
Wow. Pass 1 does the syntax, pass 5 does the pronouns, pass 10 does the logic.
Using the exact same parameters. And the paper notes that as the model approaches its fixed points, the behavior of the attention heads actually stabilizes.
Okay, remind us what attention heads are doing here.
Sure, so self-attention is the mechanism the model uses to decide which words in your prompt relate to each other. As the loops progress, these attention heads stay roughly consistent. The model is not flailing around. It is processing the same information from progressively refined angles.
Okay, so if the attention heads are stable, but the output is getting better, it is exactly like proofreading your own essay.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. You are using the exact same biological brain, your own attention heads, basically, to read the exact same text. On your first pass, you were just looking at the surface level, fixing commas and typos. You loop back to the top.
Right.
On the second pass, your brain starts noticing that paragraph 3 doesn't flow very well conceptually. So you loop back again. On the third pass, you realize your entire thesis is weak and you restructure the argument.
And notice that in that scenario, you didn't need to grow a new brain for each pass.
Right. Exactly. I just ran the same analytical engine over a progressively cleaner state of the essay, catching deeper nuances each time. The parameters of my brain didn't change, but my trajectory through the problem evolved until I reached a fixed point, which is the moment I finally submit the essay, because reading it again just won't improve it.
That's spot on. The depth a deep model gets from many distinct physical layers, a looped model gets from many trips through the same layer.
Okay, but if loops are this powerful and this efficient, the immediate question becomes, why isn't every single research lab building models this way right now? Like, there must be a catch. You can't just take any random layer, put it in a loop, and expect magic.
You definitely can't. The architecture is actually quite delicate.
The figure?
The authors dive deep into the specific design levers that determine if a cyclic pattern holds up or if the whole thing just, you know, collapses into nonsense. They identify 3 critical variables.
What are they?
Recurrent block size, input injection, and normalization techniques.
Okay, let's break those down mechanistically. Recurrent block size, that's basically asking, how big is the chunk of the model we are repeating?
Yes. A transformer block contains a specific number of parameters and mathematical operations. If the block size is too small, it simply lacks the computational horsepower to make meaningful progress on the data in a single pass.
So the representation vector barely moves.
Right. The cyclic trajectory might never reach a useful fixed point because the chisel, going back to your analogy, is just too tiny to carve the marble before the loop limit is reached.
Makes sense. Now, I saw the term input injection in the paper, and honestly, it sounded like giving the model an espresso shot at every loop. What is actually being injected here?
It's actually simpler than it sounds. The model is literally being re-injected with your original prompt at each iteration.
Oh, okay. Why is that necessary?
Well, we have to look at how data decays. Without input injection, the model suffers from semantic drift.
Like the childhood game of telephone.
Exactly like telephone, where you whisper a phrase around a circle. Even if everyone is trying their best, the message warps. If the model loops its internal state 50 times without a reminder of the goal, it might entirely forget what you originally asked it to do.
So the coordinate in the latent space drifts too far from the origin.
Yes. So injecting the input at each step acts as an anchor. It mathematically binds the trajectory to the original instructions, ensuring the model is refining the right sculpture.
Got it. Which brings us to the third variable, normalization techniques. I promise no complex equations at the top of the show, but functionally, what is normalization doing to keep this loop from breaking?
Well, let's just look at the mechanics of compound multiplication intuitively.
Yeah.
At its core, a neural network is just multiplying massive matrices of numbers.
Right.
So imagine the internal state of our model has a specific mathematical value. Let's just say 1.2. If the loop passes that value through an operation that multiplies by 1.2, it grows slightly.
Which is perfectly fine once or twice.
But run that in a loop 50 times. 1.2 to the power of 50 explodes into a massive unmanageable number.
Oh, wow.
In computer science, this is known as the exploding gradient problem. It literally overwhelms the hardware. Alternatively, if the starting number is 0.8, multiplying it by itself 50 times shrinks it to virtually zero. The information just evaporates.
So the math either blows up the computer's memory or completely vanishes into thin air.
Exactly. And that is why normalization is a non-negotiable architectural choice here. A normalization layer acts as a structural reset button.
How so?
After the data passes through the attention heads, the normalization layer looks at all the resulting numbers and scales them back down to a standard manageable range.
Oh, I see.
It provides the guardrails that keep the representation safely on its cyclic trajectory. That allows it to gracefully settle into that fixed point without blowing up the computation graph.
Okay, so if you get the block size right, you anchor the prompt with input injection, and you use normalization to keep the math from exploding, you basically unlock incredible efficiency. And that is the forward implication of this research, isn't it? This paper provides practical architectural guidance for building highly capable models without paying the massive parameter count tax of traditional depth.
It really does. It demonstrates that we can design models that are significantly smaller in terms of their memory footprint, but they punch way above their weight class because they leverage time and iteration instead of raw physical space.
This ties the entire discussion perfectly back to the running theme of our show.
Behavioral versus architectural.
Exactly. Because think about it, if we just looked at the outputs of this looped model to see if it got the right answer, if we only did the behavioral check, we would have absolutely no idea how it achieved it.
None.
We might just assume it was a standard shallow model that somehow got lucky. But by looking architecturally at the fixed points and the cyclic trajectories, the truth is revealed.
The verdict of the paper is clear. You simply cannot tell what loop models are doing without looking at them architecturally.
Right.
We cannot treat these systems as black boxes. To truly advance AI, we have to look at the gears turning.
Which brings us to a massive forward-looking question.
Lay it on me.
If doing more by doing the same thing repeatedly, the loop is competitive with doing more by being deeper with the assembly line, what does that say about where capability actually lives in a neural network?
Oh, that's a deep question.
Right. Is intelligence found in the parameters? Is it in the computation graph? Or is it in the trajectory through the state space?
Well, if intelligence is just a trajectory, then parameters are merely the medium. They are just the constraints of the physical space. The actual thinking is the movement of the coin settling on the table.
The parameters are just the table. The capability is the spin.
Exactly.
That is a profound shift in perspective. And actually, it leads me to a final provocative thought I want to leave you, our listener, with today. It's something not explicitly covered in the paper, but it builds directly on its underlying logic. If a looped model's capability comes from the number of iterations rather than a fixed physical depth, could future models become elastic?
Elastic in what sense?
Well, right now, a massive deep model uses the exact same 100 layers to answer a complex quantum physics problem as it does to just say hello back to you.
Which is a massive waste of compute.
Exactly. But imagine an AI that dynamically chooses its own depth. It looks at a complex physics problem and says, I need to loop my reasoning block 100 times to reach a fixed point. But for a simple greeting, it loops exactly once.
Oh, wow. That would massively shift how we use compute.
Right.
It would only use the energy it absolutely needs.
Right.
It would make artificial models function much more like human cognition. I mean, we don't use maximum brain power to tie our shoes, but we do to solve calculus.
Right, exactly.
An elastic loop model would finally give AI that same intuitive gear shifting.
It's a wild thought. And honestly, a perfect place to wrap up today's exploration. Thank you so much for joining us and bringing your curiosity to the table.
Always a pleasure.
As always, we are here every single day translating the bleeding edge of AI into human terms. That's Machines Learning. See you tomorrow.